While you're standing, I'd like you to turn to John, the 10th chapter. Giving statements were sent out today, so within the next couple of days, you will have your giving statements. John chapter 10, verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his purpose. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So which side are you on? The one that steals and robs and kills, or the one who gives you life much more abundantly? Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word and every person here. God, that through it somehow we'd be uplifted, strengthened, and encouraged. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You have to realize that I'm just like a mailman. I'm just delivering. I don't want to be the one that writes the mail, just delivers the mail. And God has directed me to teach on a subject tonight. I'm not sure who it's for or why it's for, but the title of my message is There's a Thief in the House. To steal a life of abundance from each and every one of us. The devil is in the takeaway business, but God's in the giving business. The whole world is thinking that God's in the takeaway business. He wants to take all your pleasure, all your good times, all your habits. But the word abundantly in this verse means this in the Greek, a life superior in quality with great advantages. So in other words, you can't have the superior life or the advantages in this life unless you're in the sheepfold. But that superior life can be taken from us through events and circumstances in our daily living. That's why we have to be so cautious as to protect our life, protect the eye gates and the ear gates and where we go, because wherever we go, we're taking our God with us. There are three things that are very closely related in our emotions. There's anger, there's fear, and there's depression. Every one of us have felt these emotions to different degrees. We have to, because we're just human. And there are things that are going to cause us to be angry, things that are cause us to be fearful or even depressed. Depression hits the world at about the same time that sin hit the world. You know? Everybody was happy in the garden before sin. Adam and Eve certainly felt depression when they were expelled from the garden, taken out of this incredible paradise. Depression affects every walk of society, whether you're educated or you're ignorant, whether you're wealthy or poor. Webster defines it as a state of mind that causes dejection, a lowering of activity in your life, and a feeling of despondence. And it causes us to isolate ourselves. And that's not life abundantly. You see, where does it come from? It comes from the enemy of our life. God intended man to enjoy a peaceful, content, and happy life. A looking forward to the future instead of regrets of the past. And you can't be happy if you're looking backwards. You have to be looking for something better in front of you. A life that is more abundant. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fears, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. I wonder how many people in this world cannot sleep at night. They're worried about something. They're taking some kind of a pill in order to get them to sleep because there's fear in their life of something that could happen in the future. And God said, you need to have confidence in me. You ought to have a good night's sleep tonight. You know, in March when this pandemic started, I don't know about you, but I thought, well, maybe this thing will last for about a month. You know, and it'll be all over, just like a flu or something else. And here we are, almost a year later, and yet no tangible end in sight. Nobody really knows when this is all going to go back to what we consider normal. And that can cause some people in depression because they don't know what is going to happen. You see, you don't know about the job. You don't know about the business. There are other things, if we aren't aware, that can cause some form of depression in our life. Somebody gets injured, a situation like Brother Portman goes through. It's going to take a long time for him to get through a sickness, especially prolonged sickness. I remember when I had a back problem, it took me a couple of months and a lot of pain. And I thought, is this ever going to be normal again? Will I ever get back to where I was? A loss of job or finances, a fractured family or loss of a loved one, it can cause you to get into a state of deep depression. The question looms, will life ever get back to normal, and how long will it take? God, did I do something wrong? I've been there. You ask God, why is this happening to me? God is not obligated to tell you why. He wasn't obligated to tell Job why he went through what he went through. But it's a time of proving, but God wants to take us through it. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it with medication. You can't do it with group therapy. You have to have confidence in a God that will take you through it. Understand that there are very high costs for depression. Every negative emotion we have takes a heavy toll on us. It really does. And we can somehow control the negativity within our life. Depression is not just an emotional state of mind, but the result of a particular thinking pattern. Just hear me tonight. You can bring depression on based on how you're thinking, and you get a thought train that continues to think it's going to be bad, it's going to be bad, until you finally realize, you know, it is bad. The Bible says, this thing that I worried about has now come upon me. 1 Peter 1 and 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. You have hope in God, and therefore you don't need to be depressed. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse And verse number 5, it says, casting down imaginations, your thoughts, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So if we cast down those thoughts, those images, those things that we're fearful of, and bring it into the captive, we have knowledge of Christ. We know what the scriptures have said, and we need to meditate on those things, and then we can be happy. We can have a better life. When a person is depressed, he becomes gloomy, cynical, despairing, or a defeatist. Everything looks bad. Everything is half empty. Nothing is half full anymore. It causes people to make a mountain out of a molehill. Why are you so excited about this little petty thing in your life? They separate themselves from even people that love them because they're in this state of depression or negativity. There are also feelings of apathy and feelings of fatigue. What's the sense of going on? And I'm so tired. These conditions, like anger and fear, are very fatiguing emotions. They bring you down. That's why you need to get into the house of the Lord and lift up your hands and start worshiping God. Feeling the presence of God takes those things out of our life, out of our mind, and now we're not so fatigued anymore. This is not the end. This is the beginning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You see, it takes a lot of energy to be angry all day. I don't know why they did that to me. Why did this happen to me? It takes a lot of energy. Or to lie awake all night thinking about it. It takes your energy. It takes your strength. And this expedites the things that are thought about, and that energy from anger and fear dominates a person, which with much life that is expelled in the negative rather than the positive, and God can't work with that. Jesus said, "The thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and destroy." Don't let him. Lock the doors. Don't answer the phone. You know, from time to time, I'm around negative people. Most of the time, it's not in church. It's just people out there. And the fact of the matter is, I won't expose myself to that. If somebody's going to come up to me to complain or tell me how bad things are, you know what? Why don't you tell God, because I can't help you with that. And all you're doing is pulling me down. I'm not going to be very happy listening to your problems that I have no control over. But you do have control. You can go to the God of confidence, and he can give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Every little molehill looks like a great mountain, and the attitude becomes, well, what's the use? I wonder how many people aren't sitting here because they got to that place of being depressed or negative, and they thought, well, there's just no use. I'm not going to try to serve God anymore. I'm just going to go out there and do what I want. Man needs a sense of accomplishment that only comes with a task well done. That's why a man can never be happy if he doesn't have a job. He doesn't have a purpose. You have to have some kind of feeling of worth, and that only comes from doing something and doing it to the best of your ability. Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Be he that keepeth the law, happy is he. See, if you're not looking forward to something, you're not going to have a very happy life. We have to have goals and things that we look forward to. A doctor who will give you hope. You've had pain for a long time. He says, you know what? I think I know what the problem is. I can take care of that. You know, I believe that God directs us to certain doctors. A promotion on the job because you've done a good job and there's more money or increase. Even a vacation or a new relationship causes us to have something to look forward to. Our church was never better when we were putting on this addition because everybody was looking forward to coming into a bigger, better, new church, and we were happier. Did I mention Jesus is coming? I'm looking forward to Jesus coming. Another problem connected with depression is being a hypochondriac. It's true. I feel like something's going to happen to me. There was a guy at work that had it. I probably have that same thing. Feeling sick with no real known cause. Our mind can actually cause physical pain when we think a task is too hard. I just can't do it. I'm not up to it. I'm not strong enough. You know, kids get depressed and even sick before they take a test that they weren't prepared for. I can't go to school today. I think I'm sick. Well, I know why you're sick, is you haven't prepared. You haven't done what you know is right, and it can actually bring sickness on. But when we force ourselves to tackle a difficult situation, it actually gives us a sense of accomplishment and joy in our life. I don't feel like coming to church, but I'm coming to church, and there's a sense of joy that comes rather than, you know, one of the kids, I think they have a cold, a runny nose. I think we all ought to stay home and get depressed. Hello? I want to get better, not bitter. Depression can also cause people to become irritable. Ever been around somebody who is irritable all of the time? They get irritated with petty things, little things. They get angry. Even somebody else that's in a good mood. What's wrong with that person? They're always smiling all the time. Just because they're happy, you know? Glory to God. I believe we've got a happy God. Blessed is the Lord. Happy is the Lord. It is His good pleasure to give us things. He loves us so much. They find themselves daydreaming of happier times. Instead of looking forward to what's going to happen, they go backwards to what used to be a better time. And in many cases, sleeping late to avoid reality. Depression causes people to sleep a lot because they don't want to face life. I don't know why I'm preaching this tonight, folks, but I know I'm talking to somebody. We lose our trust and our confidence in God and His Word, and then unbelief sets in and causes a rebellion to the Word. You know, King Saul went into depression because he disobeyed God and didn't do what he was supposed to do with the Amalekites. And then now all of a sudden, he's depressed. It's not a question. That's what happens. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel 16 and 22. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hands. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. And so we find that when people are depressed, there's something about singing. There's something about worshiping. There's something about getting into a place where people are worshiping God that changes what's going on.
Hallelujah.
Some people become paranoid that other people are enemies because they're so depressed. If you'll turn to 1 Samuel 24, verse number 9. 1 Samuel 24 and 9. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into my hands in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth thine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know not thou that see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee." Sometimes there are going to be people who, well, you know, maybe they did something, whether intentionally or unintentionally and unintentionally, and now you feel like, boy, I just can't be around them. I even feel like something hurtful should happen to them. And that takes all of our joy. It's God who takes care of those situations, not us, folks. There have been some pastors that I've known who have left their churches after a difficult building project. They got to the place where they're dealing with problems over and over and over again, to the point where it's finally finished and I can't even enjoy it. We can go through situations in our life over and over again, and finally God delivers us of it, and we can't have the joy that we had before that. There are a lot of, there is a letdown after putting much of yourself into a ministry, and the ministry might be over, or maybe you go into a different ministry and all of a sudden you feel like, boy, I'm a failure. For 40 years, I've always received energy from teaching Bible studies, more so than preaching or pastoring, because there was an energy that came off of people who were receiving the word for the first time. You see, they don't see anything wrong with the church whatsoever. You walk in as a new convert, and everybody is absolutely perfect in the church. But down the road, God allows you to see some things, but you have to mature enough to understand that that's not my issue, that you're never going to find a perfect church. You just won't. It's a church in process. You see, all of us are. We find that the prophet Elijah experienced great depression. These are These are men of God that found depression. You can't beat yourself up because you have these negative feelings, or you're not looking forward to the future, or something happened that would bring you down to the point where you'll never get back up again. And Elijah, the prophet, found himself in great depression after calling fire down from heaven on 450 prophets of Baal. He got this great victory, but he put so much of himself into it. I have to watch myself, because I put so much of myself into the church that one little thing, after it was all over, Elijah sat down in a cave and said, "Now, O Lord, take away my life." Got so depressed that he couldn't go on. But instead, God restored him. Tonight, God can restore anybody in this place. Anybody. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what your outlook is. I don't know what you're thinking about tomorrow, next week, next year, whether it's going to be good or whether it's going to be bad. Do you have a ministry or don't you have a ministry? God is in charge of that thing. And God can restore, you know. Hallelujah. He can feed you. He can refresh you. Now, there are a lot of contributing factors to depression, but the truth of the matter is the greatest cause is indulging in, I don't know if I should say it, indulging in self-pity. Look what happened to me. Woe is me. I have to admit there have been times when I indulged in poor me, just for a little while. It actually felt good to feel like, you know, I'm the underdog, or I was in a situation unjustly. Feeling sorry for yourself seems right at the time, but it drags our emotions down. And when you think you are the victim, when you think that, you know, you really need to call your friends for your pity party, it doesn't help you. It just brings you further down. Jesus said this, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." If I sow the seed of self-pity, eventually I'll believe that I'm a victim. And I walk around this whole world as a victim. I don't see any victory in my life. All I see is other people are looking at me as a victim. And the result is depression. So if you'll turn to Jeremiah, if you came in here and you were happy, you're probably going to leave here depressed. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 7. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope, his future, the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Nothing bothers you when you're trusting in, he'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. That's why kids are so happy. Why are they skipping around? Why are they playing? They have confidence in their parents that everything is going to be all right. I don't have to worry about that. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. You know what God is saying is you can't even trust yourself, but you need to trust me. You'll be like a tree planted by the water. Don't worry about the drought. Don't worry about the fruit. Don't worry about your leaf falling. All right, a couple more scriptures. Proverbs 16 and 2. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your cares upon him. Why? For he careth for you. You see, if you understand how much God cares about you, then you're not going to be worried. Trouble with sleeping, fear and depression, God has the answer. Psalms 3 and 5, it says, I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. Psalms 4 and 8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. I'm not worried. I don't wake up in the middle of the night and worry about situations that I have no control over. Amen. Acts chapter 12. If the musicians would come. Acts chapter 12, starting in verse number 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That's what we're doing for these folks. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. You know, I know the threats that were made to Peter. Tomorrow you're going to die. What in the world would cause Peter to be sleeping with chains on his arm between two soldiers, knowing that there's no escape? And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. I'd really like to have one of those experiences where I'm sound asleep and an angel gives me a rap on the side of the head and says, come on, get up. We got stuff to do. We're going places. And raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And of course, you know the rest of the story. He walked out of prison. He didn't even know if he was awake or not, but the doors were opening. After he showed God, I have such confidence in you. Wake me in the morning, would you? When this is all over. Philippians 4 and 11 says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am wherewith to be content. He obviously didn't live in the state of Wisconsin. Amen. Hallelujah. I said Sunday morning, Paul said, don't trouble me. Don't trouble me. I have marks of ownership. And folks, we've all been down the road. We've seen what God can do. And this is no time to be frightened. This is no time to, you know, question where we're going or what God is going to do. We need to trust in Him. We need to have confidence in Him. Would you stand with me, please? Lord, I ask a blessing upon every individual that is here right now, that we come against any kind of fear, any kind of depression, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that tonight, God, as we lie in our beds, God, that a deep sleep would come over us and we would have rest and confidence in You. God, that there'd be nothing that can steal our joy, but we would have life and life more abundantly. God, that You would deliver us from those fearful thoughts or what's going to happen in the future, because we have confidence that we are Yours, the apple of Your eye, God, that You care for us, and therefore we're going to cast all of our cares upon You, knowing that You can take care of it, God. Lord, there's no reason why somebody baptized in Your name, filled with Your Spirit, should be fearful of anything, God, or have any form of depression. We come against it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing. All right. You can hear this and forget it. And tomorrow you can go right back to the old ways. But there's going to be homework. Tomorrow, you need to look for something positive in your life. Look for something that God is going to do for you tomorrow. Hallelujah. And when that happens, what you need to do is you need to testify to somebody else of the goodness of God in your life. And I guarantee there won't be any more depression in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. He has our future in His hands. He has our next breath in His hands. So let's take confidence in Him. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?